So I think that's it. He's changing up his paperwork.
Hey, you keep him. He didn't get you one?
No, he didn't have enough for all of us. He just wanted to share.
You keep him. You got to make decisions.
My man.
You got to make decisions.
I'm making sure y'all okay with the changes.
This container rental, what is that? $350. Is that damn container out there at the damn
road department?
No, so let me see here now. See it right here, Liberty Tire? It's the trailer that sits at the transfer station. We pay to rent it, and then when it's filled up, they come haul it off.
So we pay the $350 a month?
I guess it is. I thought it was a quarter. But it's...
They need to do something different, right? Well,
and plus, the man last year took up different ones. We couldn't get nobody else, so you can come back over here. Why are we paying them? Y'all spend it sitting here, and then y'all take it over.
And still charges to the remote.
Y'all get it.
Right.
Basically, it's like, well, y'all try to find somebody else that does it. And, you know, it's a game. Liberty Tire in this area.
Don't we deal with them also? Don't we buy tires from Liberty Tire? You sure?
That ain't the same outfit we buy tires from?
We buy tires from Danny.
No, we don't. We buy them from Gainesville, too.
Jacksonville. The company is called. We're renting a trailer at the transfer station to it's a semi trailer.
How often do we fill it up?
Why can't we have our own trailer?
I'll be filling up for you. Don't we charge them by the time? $3 a time.
Before we get started, while Mr. Wayne gets a seat, Happy New Year. We're going to make this year, I said we, going to make this year a better year than it was last year. But I'm just reminding y'all, everybody will have a chance to speak at the end of the meeting, unless we have a special exemption and we're talking about you and your piece of property. Or if we have an opposition on that, raise your hand. You will be allowed to come up and speak at that time. Appreciate y'all, and let's get started. Bow our heads. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this beautiful day that you give us, dear Lord, and thank you for the ones come out of this meeting, dear Lord, and Lord, just guide and direct each and every one of us and help us to make the right decisions for our county. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I would ask for the approval of the minutes. Well, no. I need approval of the minutes. Regular meeting December 15th.
Motion.
We've got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, the vouchers. Has everybody got a look at the vouchers?
I'm still going through them.
All right, yeah. we'll wait on them. That's what. All right, any constitutional officers here like to speak? Nope. Need a... Motion to go into public hearing.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Good morning.
Good morning, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
We have a petition by James McNichol requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in 4.3.5, subparagraph 5 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit a wireless telecommunications tower in an ESA, environmentally sensitive area zoning district, in accordance with a petition dated 12/5/2022, to be located on the property described as follows: Dixie County parcel number 24091300000414410101 at 6320 Northeast Highway 349, Old Town, Florida 32680. Commission District 1, Jody Stevenson, Mrs. Daniel Barron, and Tracy Barron.
Do you have any calls on it?
No.
I make a motion to approve because we need more towers for sure.
Second. We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson, second, Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye.
We have a petition by John and Sheila Taylor requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, Special Exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ESA, Environmentally Sensitive Area, Zoning District, in accordance with a petition dated 12/5/2022 to be located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 050910244000403600 at 23 Southwest 720th Street, Stephen Hatchie, Florida, 32359, Commission District 5.
You got any opposition?
Anyone here opposed it?
Anybody on the phone? Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. A petition by Andrew Anderson requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.4.5, Special Exception of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ag, agriculture zoning district in accordance with a petition dated 12/14/2022. Be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 34091300010010 at 735 Northeast 642 Street, Old Town, Florida 36680. Commission District 2, Daniel Wood.
Any opposed?
No.
Motion.
Second. We've got a motion, Mr. Wood, to approve. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Petition by John and Colleen Dials requesting a special exception to be granted as provided in Section 4.3.5, Special Exceptions of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations to permit one recreational vehicle in an ESA, Environmentally Sensitive Area, Zoning District, in accordance with a petition dated 12/13/2022, to be located on the property described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 161329270000470 at 20389 Southeast Highway 349, Old Town, Florida 32680, Commission District 3, Mark Pass.
Any opposition? Anyone here opposing? Anyone on the phone?
I've heard none. I know that we normally
wrap it up right there, but I'm going to ask you from now on, probably the rest of y'all, because y'all get phone calls in each district. Have y'all heard anything on this one either?
Nope.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
I have a petition by Glenn and Jane McCray, located on the property as described as follows. Dixie County parcel number 191312-3266-0000-0320 at 116 Southeast 890th Avenue, Old Town, Florida, 32680, to request a variance for a reduction of the rear setbacks to zero and the side setbacks down to 7 feet on both sides for the construction of a boat shed and a fish cleaning station by the petition dated 12/7/2022, which is located within Section 4.7.7 RSS/MH. Subparagraph 2 of the Dixie County Land Development Regulations, in accordance with Section 12.3, Various Procedures, Commission District 3, Mark Hatch.
Any opposition? Anyone here opposing?
I got a question. Anyone on the phone?
All right, Ford.
You got zero on the back, seven on the sides. How do they have room to park in the front? Without parking in the street or whatever.
This is for a boat shed and a cleaning shed.
This is
okay.
In the He didn't mess with none of the street parking.
Their
variance was on the side and the back for the water.
Right. Well, it said 7 on both sides and the back. So that means you can't park a vehicle on either side. So they had room to park in the front.
Yeah, you still have the front.
Okay.
All right. Is there anything else for the board on this one? Motion to approve.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Right. Motion to go back to the board.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
Aye.
Yep. Resolution 2023-01, James McNichol, Daniel Barron, and Tracy Barron.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2023-02, John and Sheila Taylor.
Motion.
Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2023-03, Andrew Anderson.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2023-04, John and Colleen Dawes.
Motion.
Mr. Stevenson. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 2023-05, Glenn and Jane McCray.
Motion,
Mr. Hatch.
Second,
Mr. Wood. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Mr. Steve Copeland.
Good morning, board, and happy new year. I want to start with actually the last thing on my sheet here, because I'm very happy with this. Today, we have actually went online with our bill pay, and people can look online, pay online. We're on our new system. So it's a big step for, we finally got out of the 1900s. And so it's been a large project. We were there until 9, 10 o'clock last night getting this done, and I was back in at 3 to finish it up. So we met my deadline, which was today.
Good deal.
We have 943 active accounts as of right now. We have 23 new pumps, 7 rebuilt pumps, and we have 3 waiting installs right now. We're continuing to do blow-offs and ensure the lines are flushed properly. Spray fields. We finally have more than 2 spray fields working. We now have 5. We have to replace over 75 sprinkler heads and multiple piping. Our next, that was spray fields 1 through 5, 5 through 12, or 6 through 12 will be our next batch to start working. The cells 13 to 22, we're going to hold off on those because the monitor cells have already been removed. I don't know how many years ago, but I'm going to see if we can get them put back in and open up more spray fields. Mr. Kirkpatrick has donated to us a 20 by 30 pole barn so that we can, when we rebuild our pumps, we have an area to do it in the shade and also store some equipment under it. So that was very nice of him. It saved the district. The last quote I had was $8,000. Jamie Hope from Florida Rural Water Association paid us a visit. He will be sending us recommendations to get us in compliance with the sewer side of our plant. And he also offered, we have one of our members taking the test this coming next week, and he offered to come down and help him study for us the day before. So very grateful to him for it. Scott, where are we? There you are. Thank you for your help in putting that up on the website. Already, when I left this morning, somebody was already on the website signing up and paying their bill. So thank you very much. You and Holly got a lot.
142 more, huh?
Yeah. next thing, telecommunications, we got to see if we can get say something about voiceover. So, one last thing, and this is a big one. We do have a main water line that is leaking by the Corbin Bridge at Gateway Marina. We'll be doing that on Tuesday. It's basically going to only affect five customers or five residents, and we're going to cut that off and repair that water main. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Wait, hold on a second, Mr. Steve. I always go down to their meetings on the third Mondays, and their meetings has gotten extremely long. But I can tell you this, they're working their butts off down there. Mr. Steve made a lot of changes. He's got a very active board down there. And I on behalf of the board, I thank y'all for what y'all are doing. Y'all have made some major changes, and I appreciate it, and I know the Board of County Commissioners appreciates it.
Thank you,
Gil. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fred? Thank you, Mr. Greg, for everything that you do for us. Mr. Jared? No?
Jared's working somewhere else. We don't have anything unless you have questions.
Okay. And thank y'all for everything y'all do for the county, too. Miss Cindy?
Good morning. Happy New Year. Everything is going smoothly at the library right now.
Good deal. Thank you. Mr. Freeman. Mr. Chauncey's not here. Mr. Latson.
I feel you, buddy.
I wish you could too, man.
Good evening. Good morning. First thing on my agenda, I'm in need of a low boy trailer, and I got three bids here. One, the lowest bid is for $37,000, but they don't have it in stock. They might not have it to April or May if they can get it in. So the second one I'm requesting the board go with is $40,169, and that's on the ground ready to be delivered from the company that we bought the trailers from, Mike Trailer, one that we already dealt with, and he's waiting on the okay.
How much was the lowest bid?
37.
So that ain't that much of a difference 40. There.
37 to 40.
$37, this one $41.69.
And that's ready to go. You can get it.
I can get it. Yeah, within a week or two.
Tell them what the third one is as well, the way they can
and
see.
The third one was 47,210.
Mm.
And that one was closer to us, but it cost us more to get.
What do you need it for?
For your site. For the site, the burning, all of the equipment to get to the site, to keep them pushed up and keep them looking like we're trying to get all my equipment.
For burning purposes.
Burning purposes, the main one, but it's to get them my bulldozer and my tractor. I just got a grapple for. I can't do nothing with it. I can't get it to the site.
Okay. I'd like to add something there, too, Mr. Chair. Last year, administratively working, we was having to borrow with the road department, which is no issue other than the fact that they was helping the stormwater task force and transferring everything. And every time Solid Waste needed the trailer, it was already being loaned out and being utilized, so this would definitely help us. And obviously, even though it's under Solid Waste, when the road department or any other department gets in a bind, we will help transport. But it is budgeted. We do have it in machinery and equipment. It is budgeted. I've got it okayed with finance. So that would be my recommendation to go with number two.
We all knew that. We all knew exactly what you said. We all knew why you wanted it. But the public didn't know it.
Yeah.
And we got to be transparent with them. Okay. So I make a motion to buy the 41.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
For the 41.
Aye.
For the 41.
For $40,000.
Yeah, $40,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
$40,000.
Well, he already saved $1,000.
And the next thing I got on the agenda, I just want to let you know I am picking up cans.
Really?
We didn't know.
You couldn't tell it by my phone.
Yeah.
I want you I'm picking up cans, but I'm picking up the people that's calling me with issues. I'm dealing with issues.
Okay.
From my side. I've got a gentleman that called me this morning. The bill's been going to the corporate office. I told him, I understand. I work, he work, we all got a job. If he can't get a can, I got companies that tell me that they will go and take a can to the customers if they respond to them. And I've given numbers out, and Waste Pro and Pop Waste out of Madison. I told him if he get a hold of one of them and they can't get him a can today, give me a call back. I will respond with a can until they can get him one.
That was honestly what I was going to ask you is there's two questions I have about can rooms. One of them is if someone is their requirement in their business. We definitely don't want to hurt
anybody.
Yeah.
They call me.
If there's a requirement that they've got to have one, let's work with them until they can get one. And if I need to make that in a motion for the board to vote on, I don't mind doing that either.
That's just good business.
Honestly, I think everybody's been on the same page on that. But let's help these businesses that need them and got to have them to run their business until they can get something put in place.
I understand.
And then the second question was, did we stop C&D rentals also? Because I don't remember stopping C&D rentals. I thought it was just strictly garbage.
That's all I remember, too.
All I knew was can rentals, so all that was in can rentals.
So you stopped the C&D. I don't feel like we...
It was all cans.
We used those 20-yard cans at some of the sites,
yeah.
And we would have to take it from the site. If somebody wanted to rent one, we would rent it to them. But
the only thing I'm still doing under the board authorization that I understand is for Burnhouse. I'm still compliments of the board that far. But the C&D...
Under a hardship.
But that's something y'all told me, you know.
Have y'all got carried cans back to the, like, Horseshoe? I've got numerous calls from...
I haven't talked to them. They haven't talked to me. I'm letting whoever been handling this till I get something from y'all. My boss man talked to me and told me what happened, but I still haven't got a hold to them. That was late yesterday afternoon when we got out of his office. They was already talking to him. Well, I haven't jumped in that pool yet. I'm already in hot water. But the gentleman that called me this morning, he called me, he talked to me like I'm talking to you. And he was very polite, and I understand, like I said, I'll do anything to help anybody. It wasn't no cussing, it was... Preachers.
That's what it should be.
You know, you got me. Oh, I didn't know he got scared. Well, the letter been going to the corporate. I said, okay, well, give me a call back. Here's the information to the people. But if they can't get one, call me back. I'm going to a board meeting for Texas.
Did Waste Pro assure you that they could service that area? Because I was being told that they buy some of the ones
they told
don't
me
have cans. That
Waste Pro
wasn't
told me they
want
to sales to the person that you're talking about and to... A couple more I gave them down there, and no response. Lady Kim said they want the business. She willing to go down there. She willing to come down with me to go wherever I want to take her.
Well, I went by Waste Pro. I didn't call them. I went face-to-face yesterday afternoon. 3 months ago, they wasn't servicing that area. So they done their own study, and there's enough of them down there. 2 days ago, yes, they are servicing that area. All the people's got to do is contact them. And some of the ones that's been contacting us, all of us, texted me last night and said they finally gave them a price on that. Now, I don't know when they're going to get it.
Right.
But they've been delivering cans. Waste Pro been delivering cans. So they jumped on this wave when we first started talking about it. Or cans. They got cans sitting on the yard.
Yep.
I do know that, because as a matter of fact, the supervisor stopped me when I was leaving out the office to come here, and they ready. They are doing what they...
I know I notified them on a couple of cans that I had, and they got with them, and they said as soon as y'all picked up, they would set down, so we wouldn't be without cans.
My cans first, so I've been working with him moving cans all week for 2 weeks, or longer. I'm just saying 2 weeks, but I know I've been on holiday a bunch.
We just need to verify with the business owner.
Yes.
And if they haven't got that taken care of
today,
then we'll, according to the board direction, we want him to set a can back until they can get one from another company.
Yes. Today.
It sounds like to me all they got to do is contact the other company and they will get a can.
Yeah, that's what it's sounding.
If they ain't done their due diligence, that's not our fault. But anyway, if they can't get one, we need to carry one back out.
Yeah.
Right. But it sounds like to me they just need to pick up the phone.
Yes.
Now, C&D.
All right.
What are we going to do with C&D? Are we going to rent C&D?
Well, I thought y'all to keep the other cans, so if y'all going to take them away, might as well take the C&D away, too. Ain't no sense in leaving one. You're going to take one, take them all. But you ain't, they getting, the other counties, are they're getting $400 or $500 a can. He ain't charging me $200.
On house building, how does that work with the C&D?
My house right here in Cross City, Watson's bought one out and dropped it off.
Every time they dump it.
Does he dump it when it's full, or is that it?
Well, no, that's what he's paying, but
how much is it, Leon?
Well,
let him throw a bag of household garbage in and see how much it is.
It'll be $7 a ton, leave no problem with my scale.
What do y'all want to do?
But how much we've been charged for our C&D?
Well,
$200.
Well, it's just a flat $300 what Leon talked
it's
about.
It's $300.
$300 is what
I Yeah, $300 for the can. He
I'm running on several times. I thought y'all paid. I paid $200.
No, you paid three.
I paid three. Still a half price. I'd like for them all to go back, put the cans back, all of them go back to all the sites and charge what they're supposed to, where they can make money instead of lose money. But that's just me.
Jamie, what's your...
Hey, Mark, sir, you would clarify, though, that I didn't ask for that. You asked me.
No, he didn't. I said that because of two reasons. Number one, you're a building official, and you've got to have that can before you start building a home.
Right.
And number two, you're building a home. And I knew you, I knew what you had. So as a building official, you can't issue a permit period until
a can is sitting there, right?
I mean, no.
They can't do nothing.
They can get a building permit without a can there. They just can't.
Right. So what do y'all want to do? Do y'all want to continue to send these? I honestly thought we were doing that.
But now, do we don't deliver to new homes, do we, in that situation?
Yes.
If he in Dixie County and need a can, I'll deliver a can. If I got a can,
But see, look, now that's where all this started.
Yeah.
That's where it all started. This all started that to help y'all get our dump sites cleaned up, we need more cans.
We
need more 20-yard cans, my understanding. So that's where they wanted to gather up all the cans, because I'm one of them that had one for over 20 years. Mm-hmm. And, no, I did not want to get rid of my can. But I see that where we needed the size. I understand that. So that's why I voted to get the cans up. I'm like Jody. If we voted on the cans, so can't keep them all, bring them all back to fix your problem at the dump site.
You have fixed that because I've got three cans. But now
I'm going to say this. I'm on this. I'm a very easy man to work with. Everybody knows that. We got getting our cans back. Now, if the dump sites ain't cleaned up,
Well, I guarantee you,
call
on Monday morning when you go by there, they're going to look just like they did before. Because if you do not service them on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, when you have your peak garbage days, when you roll up there Monday morning, it's going to be overflowing. Mark had his come out here and dumped them on a Saturday. He went by there Sunday and called and said, hey, did y'all come dump them cans? Did you not?
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, I'm saying, cans out here ain't going to help our
efforts. I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to do that.
I know that, but I mean, what I'm saying, that's my point. Yeah. It didn't do no difference. Monday morning, there was still a wreck.
Yeah. I got more cans than now, sir. I got 5 more cans at his site.
Some more capacity.
I got more cans to hold more garbage now since I got them other cans. Now,
you dumped them on Saturday, didn't you?
I dumped
that day. How many cans was out there?
Well,
at that time.
At that time, I don't think it was like 15.
15, and they filled up 15 cans. You dumped them on Saturday, and Monday morning, 15 cans was black full. 13 black full. So you think 5 more cans at that site's going to help it?
Well, Dave.
I don't think so.
We're going to try.
If they can fill 13 in one day.
I can promise you this. If it don't, he'll get a phone call on Saturday.
And I will get one on Saturday. But we're going to try it.
C&D, are we stopping C&D? I need to know that. Yes, the board's stopping C&D.
I thought when we voted on it, it was all cans. I didn't know we were separating them out. But, I mean, if we're going to keep the C&D, we need to keep all of them. That's my touch on it.
Jamie?
You going to take
it? I'm agreeing with Jody. If we're going to keep the C&Ds, let's keep all of them.
If he don't have the administration, the manager, y'all said he didn't have the people to manage yet to keep up with the money and the monitor. How can he monitor the C&D if he can't monitor? If he's going to do that, he can monitor all of them.
That's, I agree.
So, I'm good. I don't care. I need a direction.
I need a direction. I got a man that's fixing to spend about $250,000 on a truck and cans.
Yep.
And he don't need this board to backpedal.
Yep.
And say, hey, all of a sudden we're going to, and he waste $250,000.
I understand, sir.
Good luck to
if this board is, that's our choice, I'm going to go tell him we're out of the C&D business.
We will be charging them when they come across the scales.
Right. They know that.
The C&D Hill.
They know that.
We wish him the best of luck.
I'm still in the...
Excuse me, Lord, man, I apologize. I'm on the table. I might have jumped all the way into the what, 5 in, because I'm used to it by now. But can I get those 5 cans back from y'all side?
No.
For what?
What are you talking about, preacher? To take the C&D cans away from the site?
No, that's a site. We need to have a C&D for the public at the site.
Yeah.
But your attendance can, if they're a commercial business, they can tell them to go to where they need to go. That's the whole deal. That's mom
and
mom.
But it's called an argument. I just wanted to try about maybe I get some good here.
Good argument.
The reason he's asking, that's a lot of times they'll turn somebody around at the transfer station with pressure-treated wood, and then when they go pick up on the can from the site, that pressure-treated wood comes right back to them.
Yeah.
Is that not...
We don't turn them around. We just make it go to our cellar. We do a pressure treatment. All pressure treatment has to go to our sewer. We don't turn it around. We just have to separate it. I know that. A lot of times they don't take it out there. They come to charge or something to that effect, and they will go right out there. I see them go to horseshoe and dump it. Well, we can't stop them and make them, you know. But you're attending. Out of county C&D coming in. Y'all turned them around.
They've left y'all, went right on one of the coastal communities, put it in the can, and it come right back to y'all.
That's on the shelf.
We got a young man right here who won't speak.
Just a question. C&D cans can remain at the site, but people aren't going to be getting them on their property anymore. That's a charge.
Yes.
Can you make sure you print that very clearly? I'm going to cut that out. Yeah. Screenshot it. I know you will. I want
that information also. It was discussed.
Yep. Said so.
Yep.
And you can print.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Mr. Wright.
Yes, sir.
There had been previously discussion on the application that you had at the building department and confusion with it. I printed one out and passed it around right there.
I think we all looked at it, I think.
Yeah. This is the new application. We have a release, real simple, real funding.
That's pretty simple.
They all get to have this
checklist with it.
This one here is for a mobile home permit. Each one of them, what you do with it is different.
It's going to be the same way with the mobile home application and the residential. And contacted iWorks to open up the portal. This is something we started previously before my shots went in. And then I didn't know if I had to continue with it because it didn't have, I can't complete it.
Leon, I got a question for you. On the second page, the mobile home application worksheet, about midway down, about middle of the page, it's mobile home information. If I go there and I get a used mobile home and fill out all this, I know most time wind label, some of them older mobile homes don't make it.
Right.
So how do you review this and then issue the permit? How's that process?
Yes. We do a pre-inspection before they can ever apply for this one.
Okay.
And it's attached to this application right here. So if you find a used mobile home and say, hey, we want this, to be brought in, go and look at it.
Well, I knew we always done it that way,
right.
But
it's
not a county,
no matter where the mobile home is.
Yeah, he did. And that's what I wanted to make sure we were still doing the pre before this.
And $100 inspection. And, I mean, we went all the way to Jacksonville and there's some that we approved and there's some that we did.
What I didn't want to do is go to an online thing and then something like that slip through the cracks on it. But if we're still doing the pre before they can actually fill this out.
Correct.
Okay. I'm good with that.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Leon.
Mr. Brown.
I was feeling bad because everybody's going fast and then
we
slowed down a little bit.
Don't feel bad, Dwayne's after you.
I have study materials for our next test. We may be wrong, but we'll be consistently wrong with the answers. Actually, this is just reading material for y'all when you get time. I'll explain the general gist of it.
Thank you.
I did not.
We'll start with that one and get it out of the way. What you have before you is our results from our ISO evaluation that we had a few months ago, sometime back around August, I think. ISO is the Insurance Service Office. They evaluate the fire service, and they set your insurance rates for all your homeowner's insurance, your commercial insurance, and everything else. How good the fire department does is how good your rate is. If we don't do good at all, you don't get a rate. So when I tell you that in order for the community to grow, you have to have water, sewer, and a fire department, you're not going to get $1 million business to come in here if they can't get it. The last rating we had, they do these every 5 years. The last rating we had, we scored a 5.5X. You will see about, well, if you flip to the last page, turn it over. On the back of your book, one page attached to it, two pages, you'll open that up, you will see a chart. It says final community classification. This classification runs from a 0, or a 1, I guess it is, to a 10. Class 1 fire department is the best you can get. Class 10 is no insurance. We are 552. Which means we're a class 5, 5X. Now, this is based on a lot of facts, gentlemen. You're going to be able to read all of this in the materials I give you. If at any time you want to sit down and talk about it and get some further explanation, I'll be happy to. But I don't think this board needs to place a week-long class to tell you how to even read this. But they come in and they evaluate our equipment. They evaluate our personnel, our training records, our dispatch capabilities, our tracking of our units and such as that. They also evaluate the water supply throughout the communities, which is something we have no control of. That's usually where most fire departments fall behind is the water supply, the line sizes. That's why I harp about the lines need to be the right sizes, because if they're not a minimum of 6 inches, they don't flow a minimum of 250 gallons a minute, and it don't count. If it's not within 1,000 feet of that building, it doesn't count. This evaluation takes into account how far you are from a fire station. Fire stations have to be every 5 miles apart. If you're outside of 5 miles from a fire station, you have no fire protection according to this. There are some changes that you'll see in there out to 7 miles, but that just has to do with your water supply. It's a pretty complicated evaluation, especially the first time that you go through it. There's a lot of details into how they grade and evaluate. They go right down to how many feet of hose, what types of axes and stuff we have on our trucks. Training our personnel, how many are on duty, how many are volunteers. We lost quite a few volunteers in the last 5 years. We did gain some paid staff, so that helped to balance out. There was a couple of points difference between this year's evaluation and last, and I think a lot of that was due to the loss of the personnel. As our volunteers are getting older and retiring, they're not being replaced because people just do not want to go to 3 months of school to volunteer. It's sad, but it's the way the state is going right now in the country, too. But all in all, for a small rural department as we are, this is an exceptional rating. We should be very happy to have this. We're only 2 points out from being a class four, a little over 2 point something, whatever that is, from being a class four. Some of the issues that were noted in this, and it breaks them down individually in these pages to follow. The first 5 or 6 pages tell you how they evaluate, gives you what we were evaluated at, and then it breaks down each category, and you'll see that. And like I say, I'll be happy to sit down with y'all any time. We'll schedule a couple of hours and look at it. But some of our bigger flaws was in communications. We do not have computer-aided dispatch, what they call a CAD system that automatically tracks where our trucks are to dispatch the nearest unit instead of having to pick whoever they think is available. Those were some pretty big hits there. They've been working on that. Pendarvis even Fandy, when she was the sheriff's office, the sheriff. Dispatch falls under the sheriff's office. I don't have anything to do with that side of it. Once 911 rings and they say 911, I'm done with it. And a lot of that kind of falls on both sides, and we've been working on it. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars to do this, and then monthly payment to keep it going. So it's something that we are working on. The sheriff is working on a new radio system that would have resolved a lot of that. That is not currently approved. I don't know the status, but I'm sure he's still working on it. That will help a lot if we can get that. That alone would put us in a class four, I believe. Points are right. Water supply hit us really hard. We do the inspections of fire hydrants annually ourselves, but the bigger part of that is the flow testing, where the water departments actually go out and flush each system, each section of the system. The system's broke up, and they have to flush those and test those themselves, and then the flow rate. The flow rate is based on what you're protecting. So if we're protecting Mr. Jamie's home, we're looking at a very low fire flow rate that's needed for a 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 square foot home. It's all calculated on the size of the building. But if we're protecting Save-A-Lot, we have to have more fire flow. And that is the very reason that the town of Carl City is required to have 2 pumpers within the city. Not because they have a massive amount of fire calls, but because it takes at more than 1,500 gallons a minute to protect, or 2,500 gallons a minute to protect that. So they have to have 2 trucks that will meet that pump capacity. So all that is evaluated into this survey, and that's what governs how we as the fire department do business. So when I come tell y'all we need more people, we need more trucks, we need bigger pumps, a lot of this is being taken into consideration. It's not just how many trucks you can put on scene, how fast you can get there. It has to do with pump capacity, how much water you have. If you're a mile and a half from the fire station and you have no water supply,
Just another building, ain't it?
Just another building. And all of that is there. Used to, the insurance companies just kind of guessed, and we sent letters and fixed it, but now they have access to all of this online. We very seldom get requests for letters anymore. They set your rate.
Yep.
If you are 7.5 miles from a fire station, you're a class 10.
Yep.
If you're a class 10 and you want to buy a mobile home, you can't get homeowners insurance. It's just the way it is. And, you know, our stations are laid out so that we cover the majority of the community. The county has a nice population. But those things have to be accounted for as the community grows. Areas in between, like Horseshoe and Cross City around the Bowlegs area, as that area is now growing, we've got to start looking at that. You know, we have to look at those things. Rocky Creek has to be looked at with these communities coming in, because if they're more than 5 miles from that station, then we have issues. But then when you got a fire station, you've got to have fire trucks, and you've got to have $1-2 million building, and you've got to have staff, because we can't get volunteers. So it's one of those shell games that we shuffle around and hope when we pick it up, there's something under it. But all of that in the future has to be looked at, and that's why we do 5- and 10-year plans. We actually have a 5-year plan laid on my desk right now to look at those things. The new station coming in the center of Old Town there off of Chapless is going to be a big help, especially if we can get it staffed. And that's my hopes, is that once it's built, year after next, these guys can get it staffed. I'm in my last happy new year, I think. So, but that's what this evaluation is, and it'll be confusing. It'll take you some time to read, and honestly, if you're interested, I'll be happy to sit down and take the time to walk through it and explain in detail and answer your questions, because it's important for you as the board to know what this is, because it doesn't just affect us as the fire department. We got to class 5. It affects the growth of the community. It affects everything that happens within this county, and the better we can keep this, the better it is. But there are limitations, and sometimes we can't reach those. Until we can, then we have to settle for whatever we get. But whenever we were reevaluated 5 years ago, we went from a class 7 to a 5.
That's awesome.
We've maintained the 5.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And you also have to consider that when we went to the 7, it was because we had had the firefighters on, and then we had to terminate them. We lost people. And it hurt us in that last evaluation, and then we were able to get beyond that. So those things, they have impacts. And when you come up here and ask, it's not just that we won't have new shiny trucks. There's needs there. But April 4th, whatever that date is, April 1st, this will take effect, but it's the same rating, so nothing's going to change.
How are we covering the coastal communities?
Each coastal community has a recognized fire station. They have volunteers. Some of them do not physically have volunteers there, but now with the way our department is laid out, all of my staff, since we cover the county and we're not individual little fire districts like it used to be, all of my staff count towards the staff. Even though they may not be assigned in Horseshoe or in Gina that day, they still count as personnel going to that call. The equipment is there, and they take all that into account. I have some issues with the way they do that. I think it's good for us, but it's not correct. But right now, we have all of those covered. Of course, Horseshoe is its own municipality. They contract with us to provide equipment. I would like to see them build us a bigger station there. I would like to see them apply for an appropriations request if they could get it and build a fire station, because right now it's just a 2-bay station and a restroom. Can't put people down there, even for a weekend event. I can't put someone in Horseshoe. Our Suwannee and Gina stations, people can live there. They're older buildings, but they're really nice buildings. Those things, again, when do we build stations? Where do we build? Those are important. But they're all covered under the county. That's one reason we needed to get the fire rescue department under one umbrella, so that we, because used to, every single fire station that we had was recognized as its own fire department. And they all just kind of worked under the old chief's group, and they got a little money here and there to manage them, and they managed themselves. And we've, over the last 15 years, incorporated that into a county service. So it doesn't matter if it's in your district up in the first district, way out the county line, or if it's in Suwannee or Horseshoe or Gina, our department still covers that, and that rating is recognized countywide. The only exception would be if you had, and they've done this one time, the town of Horseshoe Beach decided they wanted to have their own fire department, and they did not want to sign the contract that year. And we advised them it was not healthy to do that. They assured us they had about 5 people that could drive their fire trucks, and they had a station, and they had trucks. They had a fire department. So we complied with that, less headache for me. About 8 months later, they got a phone call for an ISO evaluation and showed up and advised them that they did not have a fire department because they did not have a single trained firefighter, and told them do not operate the trucks. Find them some fire coverage because by statute they have to provide for their community. And they came back and asked if we did do that, and we did. So, you know, if you're your own municipality, you're required by statute to provide coverage for fire, EMS, things of that sort, law enforcement, which you're all aware of that. But that would be the only kicker, is if somebody went outside of the county realm then and became their own jurisdiction, then they have to provide that, or either contract with us. You know, we can do that. But right now we cover the entire county. Now, Cross City has its own fire department for the city. They have the Cross City Volunteer Fire Department. I'm the assistant chief of that. Most of my staff that live in town are on that department. Chief Lyles manages it. It is its own fire department, its own budget. They have their own ISO rating, which I'm hoping doesn't come due this year, because I don't think it's going to be. But they do receive a separate evaluation. They get credit for our guys that are in town working and responding. We get credit for their response outside on mutual automatic aid. So that's the only area in Dixie County that the Dixie County Fire Rescue Department does not officially first respond cover. City is its own jurisdiction. But we go either way. But by paper, the city has to cover that area. And they do have their own evaluation process and their own rating. And I think that the city was a class 4 the last time we evaluated. And a lot of it has to do because it's a very small area. And they had at that time quite a few people that were well-trained and responding quite regularly. I don't think it will be quite as good this time if they go back through an evaluation. The equipment's getting older, some other things. But they're working on that. The city's approved to buy a new truck, get one that'll fit in the building. So, you know, that's kind of where we are. I hope that answers your question. And, again, I'll be happy to spend hours with y'all if you would like, because it is something that is very important to each of you as a commission to know how this operates, because it affects many, many things. But we are where we work. That is the general idea of it. Read through it, and if y'all have any other questions on that. I have a few things. I would like to get the board's approval to apply for probably two appropriations requests. I would like to ask for two things. I'm probably going to do them individually. We're talking about $500,000. So we're looking at $5 million total. I would like to submit those requests to the House of Senate and see if we could possibly get approved for one or both of those. They were kind enough last year to give us here before last year's two stations. So this will be much less money. I know the board has other things they want to ask for as well, but if you would allow me, I would love to send that paperwork in, but I just want to start typing and filling out papers until I got four.
I'll make a motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Thank you, gentlemen. We have approval. Budgeted money for a re-chassis for our ambulances. We try to do one every year, so the mileage we put on. We submitted letters of request for chassis. We've been approved for chassis, but the company has not received chassis. We're getting to a point now where it's possibly unlikely we will be able to re-chassis one of our ambulances this year, because the only thing available is a gas chassis at this moment. And with the thousands, tens of thousands of miles that we put on our trucks every year, I don't think that's a wise choice. They do have a couple of Fords. We had went to a Ford on our squad truck and tried it, and we have had lots of issues with that 550 truck. Smaller Fords are pretty good trucks. I love my pickup, but 550, we've had major oil leaks, had the doors leaking water, all kinds of mechanical problems. It's got to go to Jacksonville to get worked on because of the weight of it. The last time it went, it stayed almost 3 months. It stayed long enough we had to carry new batteries up to put in the truck. So it's a problem. I'm not sure that I want to try it. They do have a couple. All of our fleet is Dodges except for the one Chevrolet that we bought with the COVID money that I would desperately love to get rid of. It's been on fire a long time with other problems. Can't get enough miles on it because it stays broke, and I'm afraid our Ford would be. So I don't know where we're going with that. I just want you to be aware that it's possible we can't reach SEIU, even though we have it budgeted, but we can't get a check. So that's going to put us in.
How many miles are y'all averaging before y'all reach out to?
I think you're just going to ask me, Boss, and I.
220,000. Well, these new gas motors, these roller motors, I mean, they get 300,000, and the fuel's about $3 a gallon cheaper, or $2 a gallon cheaper.
I'm very leery of gas motors. We'll look at it. We have looked at it.
That's what I run.
I mean,
what I run. I'm not buying these.
They're a lot better than they used to be. I mean, that's those old Chevrolets I got. Some of them got over 400,000, and I ain't never turned a wrench on them other than changed oil.
We may not have a choice when it comes down to it. Because if we don't reach out to one this year, we'll be in pretty bad shape next year.
And like I said, on the fuel side of it, the diesel should be cheaper because it's the cheapest to make, but it's the most expensive.
The
run.
And the maintenance side of it, too.
The maintenance, so.
Yeah.
But I want y'all to be aware of those issues where we're at there.
Cost of the overall vehicle is a lot cheaper.
I was going to say, what's the difference?
Well, when you put a diesel in it, you're talking about $10,000 more added price to the vehicle itself.
I'm not going to be here past 100,000 miles. So, but these guys.
I'm just saying, on these new roller motors, they're getting.
Good
200,000 or 300,000 miles, no problem.
We'll look at it again. Our previous fleet maintenance director looked at it. Our current one has looked at it. Neither has given me a recommendation to go with gas engine. We'll look at it again. Study.
They ought to be some data out there that you can pull up and see what the average, how they're doing.
The data we see is all good because they don't have the miles that we run in the hours and hours and hours and cost.
Can't be no worse than the Chevrolet.
Right.
It's got about 35,000 miles on it, 2 years old, because we can't keep it running. So that's not good either. We did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But, Darren, if you didn't purchase one in this budget year, though, that would require us to budget either two or three.
Definitely.
The following year.
We're looking at rechassing two trucks this year, which is going to be, I think this quote is around 135, 140 this time without painting it. It's going to be more next year because the chassis are going up $15,000. So you're going to be looking at $175,000, $200,000 per truck just to rechassis. Buying a new truck now is $500,000. And I suppose we're going to be right out of $500,000 for an ambulance.
Yep.
So, you know, we need desperately to start buying trucks. Some of our boxes, Scotty, how old is our oldest boxes? Do you even recall when we got
2010.
2010, this is 2022, so we've got boxes that are 12, 23, you did. That's the first time I've messed up this shit. I didn't write it, you can't prove it. So, you know, we're looking at old boxes there, and every time we rechassis one, we carry it in, they strip it down, they put new hinges, new latches, they rebuild things that normally you wouldn't think they would. But still, that box has that 12, 13 years of stress going up and down the road, shaking back and forth. You know, we wanted to get a new truck last year. We couldn't afford to do that. We need to start looking at not just rechassis. We really need to start replacing some of these ambulances. But again, they're $500,000. And that's a payment plan. And it's a long-term plan. And we've got to rechassis one every year. We have seven of them. So it's not like it's one or two.
And if it's like everything else, you've got to get on a list just to get one.
Well, and that's the problem now. It's terrible. It is. And fire trucks are no different. They told me the other day when the city was looking at that one that by 2030 you wouldn't be able to get a gas or diesel-powered fire truck. They would be electric. We ain't got cords long enough to get to your district. You know, I don't know what we're going to do.
Well, and one note, Darren, just so you know, I know the school is looking at getting electric buses.
I think that
is going to be changing up some. Again, that was a meeting that we had conflicts. So I didn't get to sit in on the workshop, but they are looking at getting quite a few electric buses, which may improve our ability to charge.
How many of those buses have they already got online in other areas that they're running? That they know how they're performing and all
right.
That.
And that was some of the stuff that was going to be part of the workshop. Me and Paul both had to miss that one. But,
RTS,
you know,
been running for a couple of years.
Our problem with the fire trucks is really different than the buses. The buses load up, go down the road, park that afternoon. We pull up on scene, and I've seen them sit there for 36 hours at 3,000 RPMs.
Running.
For 36 hours. So,
at least you wouldn't hear them, Fez, like this.
Sorry?
At least you wouldn't hear them. I got... I got something that would help Darren a tremendous amount. We always look at one problem, but what's causing his problem? What's causing his mileage and his and all that stuff? Why is he having to re-chassis every year? If we really wanted to help Darren, I believe, and help the county, we need to, and I've sat in meetings with North Florida and Shands trying to get a emergency facility out this way. That's something we really need to focus on. Could you imagine Darren going to Bannon Springs instead of Gainesville? So as we're talking to our Tallahassee people, let's keep that in mind, and let's keep Levy County. Let's get Levy County involved, and I've talked to some of their commissioners. I've talked to some of the Gilchrist County commissioners. Let's form something up and help somebody in the Tri-County area, and it would only help us. It'd help Levy and Gilchrist. And it would definitely, you might go from re-chassing once a year to maybe every other year. I don't know, but I think that's where the root of the problem is the distance to Gainesville. It's just something to think about.
Well, most of the time today, you brought it up.
We've been in the meetings together, me and you have.
But within a month or two, my plan was to come to you again with some other issues. I've already been working on two persons I met last year with the medical facility within this community that's contracted and holds the contract for Medicare and Medicaid to provide services to our community. And according to everything that we've read and all the laws and rules and Medicaid rules and everything else, they have to provide comprehensive care. You take a facility like one out of our county, let's say Palms Medical, they have pharmaceutical on site. They have doctors on site. They have x-rays. They have OBGYN. They have all the various items that you need in a medical facility. You cannot get that in Dixie County. And I'm not knocking any of our doctor's offices. If any of the representatives are here, I'm not knocking them. I understand. We have as much trouble as everybody else. But the fact of the matter is, Medicare and Medicaid, with those doctor's offices, works under a contract group. If another doctor's office wants to come in here, and I have had a request by a major facility that can provide comprehensive care that wants to come to this county, they can't get the contract for Medicare and Medicaid because the other agency out of the Tallahassee area owns the contract. We met with them a few months ago, and we told them that we were not happy with what they were providing. At the time, they did not even have a doctor on staff in the county. They were shuttling them in from the northern areas as best they could. They don't provide any of what I just told you. That is our representative for Medicare and Medicaid. So, if the board chooses to push the issue, that has to be renewed. I think Chief Ferguson told me every 2 years he's in a class today, so I'm not sure. Dr. Wilson may actually know that. I don't know, not to put him on the spot. But, and I'm taking business from him if I do this, so he's mad at me too right now. Actually, I don't
know. You got plenty, right?
We need to start looking at this company that is currently holding this contract. We need to start meeting with our state and local and federal representatives that govern Medicare and Medicaid. And we need to look at the renewal of this contract. If there's another agency that wants to come into this county and build a facility like they told me and provide pharmaceutical, x-ray, doctors, nurses, OBGYN, everything else that comes with comprehensive medical care, not just come by and get a temperature checked, but come get checked. We have something like that that wants to come to this community. The people go there instead of calling 911. When I go to the doctor, I go to Palms personally. I don't know where everybody else is. It's not relevant. When I leave here tomorrow, my daughter's going to a doctor's appointment where we go party. And that's in Palms. Because there's nothing, and we're not in front of them. We're just going to buy trucks and cars, I hope. But we need to look at that before we even worry about the hospital. I've been working on the hospital side. It's not coming right now. There's not enough houses here. That's just the way it is. We've talked, we've met whenever they were doing the building across the river with the hotel and all the complex that was going in there. And their answer was, if there's enough rooftops represented, we will build one. Their answer 6 months later was, there's not enough rooftops represented. It's not worth our money. tried to get my doctor to tell me to build one. I've tried to get all the representatives to do it. It's not going to happen until that moment. But if we can get something within our community here within Cross City Old Town that our citizens can go to when they're sick and have the flu, and it's not, most of the time, it's not probably 75% of the people here. It's the people that are disadvantaged. They're the ones on Medicare and Medicaid. And the answer that we got from this facility, yeah, we provide dental. But I didn't know you had a dentist. Oh, no, they got to go to Perry. No, they got to go to Perry, then go to Gainesville. They can't drive to Gainesville. They can't drive to Perry. They call me to carry them to Gainesville to see their dentist. And that's what we're dealing with. So now that that can of worms is out, like I say, we've been working on this for about 6 months. I did not know.
How did we get in contract with them if they wasn't really providing the service?
We don't have nothing to do with it, boss. I don't really know how it happens. Medicare and Medicaid, they apply for it. They get picked. I don't know.
So you said it was coming up. You know, it's coming up for renewal, so.
Well, it's supposed to be renewed every couple of years.
Well, who renews it?
Florida, I guess they handle Medicare and Medicaid. They handle all the contracts.
Well, you need to get some numbers for us to contact then. I mean, we need to find out somebody's got the risk.
That was my call. After I met with the doctor's office and told them what we wanted and give them a short amount of time to fix that, which they've had now until January 1st was my plan. We're at the 5th now, so just have the board meeting to call them first. But I've already told them what I expected and what I thought we should have, and I was in the process of figuring out just how we needed to go about it. And most of what I've seen is that the political board that governs this area needs to be on board and asking for better service.
I'm sure the board and the citizens like to know who's speaking.
I did not know y'all been working on that.
I knew
this was not rehearsed.
I didn't know how that operated about 6 months ago.
Right.
It took us about 3 months to really figure out where we were and what control and authority the board had.
Right.
And then we felt like we needed to at least give the facility the current holds the contract the opportunity to fix it.
Yeah.
We met with them. Geez, do either of y'all remember when it was 3-6 months ago?
Around August.
Yeah, I'm not sure how long ago. They brought down their representatives from Tallahassee and everything else. We talked, and I told them just what I thought. And I was very clear about it, as I usually am. They assured me they could fix all that. You have people on staff and so on and so forth. I told Chief Ferguson that I would allow them through the rest of the year. And the first year we started looking at it, and I'd bring it to the board, and perfect time for you to bring it up. Perfect time for me to bring it up. We need to fix it.
They ain't done nothing to it yet, have they?
No, I don't want to answer that, boss, because I've not went and looked, but I've not seen a bunch of dentist chairs and stuff being delivered.
You see a lot of movement.
Nope, they ain't no movement been done.
But I was going to wait until at least the first of the year, and I was going to start moving forward and bring it to y'all's attention, so now's a great time to bring it to your attention. And that in itself will cut down on some of our costs. We've got a community fair medicine program on board, and she's being able to take a few calls and cut back on some of those, I don't want to say abuse, but repeat calls, people that just don't know, and some of that's showing a little bit now. But at the end of the day, all of those things that we overcome are offset by the additional people moving into this county. So it doesn't change the fact that we still have to provide ambulances, fire trucks, take them to the hospitals, and I would love it to carry them to Old Town instead of Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
How fast do we put that $250,000 on one? Is that a year?
Truck average. Any single truck averages about 70,000 miles a year.
I average 40, and I drive every day all day. I average 40 a year. That is a lot of miles.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
That's calculated with the fact that we move around.
We change oil every 2 weeks.
One truck.
But how many trips to Gainesville y'all make out of what, 4 ambulances?
They run
5 or 15
a day.
Yeah. The difference is those vehicles are running 24/7. You're down 8 hours of sleep or whatever.
Another shift
takes that truck. That's still kicking.
We run 3 trucks 24/7. We have a 4th truck in Old Town at the fire station. If all 3 of those are gone, the fire crew will take that one and make a 4th ambulance. So we run 4 every day, but we have 7. So what happens is, as maintenance comes about, those trucks get swapped to keep the miles down. So, and those are there for backups. If we need to put a Rescue 5 in service, we can get that out of the office. I've got a new guy on the engine now. We wanted to get 2. We could only afford 1. But that was the purpose of that, was to put another
engine in town, but had a paramedic and an EMT, so we could do the same thing again and have five rescues running every day.
Yep.
But with the change of the Medicare laws, when we had to go to 15 hours, it cut a physician out that I couldn't afford to put in. So we've got an engine on staff, but they are not able to take two crew members and make an ambulance yet without pulling someone out of somewhere else to do that.
You can also add in there, when all his stuff's out of the county, Gilchrist is over here loading some people up from time to time. Levy County is also.
Well, just to give you an example, day before yesterday, Scott?
Yes.
We get a phone, get a 911 dispatch. As we're getting it, my rescue four, my fire truck in Old Town was getting a medical call. So all three of my ambulances are gone. My fire truck now is gone in Old Town because it's now an ambulance taking a patient. So I've got my squad truck with one officer on it, and I've got my engine in town with one firefighter on it, and a 911 call comes in for a residential fire assistance to Taylor County in Senhatchie. And whenever we get almost to Senhatchie, I'm still trying to see where it's at, and I finally zoom out, and it's a two-story house fire in Keaton Beach. While we're at the Keaton Beach fire, we also have a wildfire in Taylor County that we have to send an engine to. And when that's done and we start home, we have another wildfire in Senhatchie that we have to send an engine to. And while all that happened, we had two more medical calls come in. So that's the way my day goes. It's every day. And then some days it's quiet. We love it. But this place is growing, y'all. The call load is there. It's changing. And we've got to look at ways to increase. And I will say thank you to the board. You've all stuck your necks out the last few years. We've changed taxation. We've changed funding. You've allowed me to do things that are great for this service, this department, this community. But it doesn't change the fact that tomorrow
still
will be more. When that station comes, when these gentlemen get me a set of prints, and we're meeting next week, so I thought y'all were smiling when we're here. But when we get that station done, it's changing. It's staffed. And it doesn't need to be staffed by pulling two people out of Old Town to put there, which is my current plan if I can't get people. We need another man on this engine that's coming budget year. I need three more people. When I say a man, that's a seated position. It takes three people because they work every 30 days, 24-hour shifts, 24 on, 48 off. I need to add a position. This year, coming up in just a few months when we build the budget, I need another paramedic firefighter. And then next year, when that station's done, they need two more, which is a total of six people. But now that's our pay rate that we're mandated to provide $500,000 for the people. By the time you add the benefits and retirement, everything else, it's a lot of money. So, you know, the taxation's coming up, the money's coming in as the community grows, but the need's still there. Any other questions? I will not be at the next two meetings. I've already been told my next meeting, I have a conference in Daytona, the Fire Chief's Conference. The following meeting, Chief Garner and I will be at the emergency preparedness meeting in Tampa, Orlando. Next meeting, all of my chiefs will be with me in Daytona, so we will not have representation here unless something comes up and we'll drive them in. But the FEPA meeting, either Chief First or Chief Vice, will be here for that. And I will be the only two gone. Shortly after that is spring governor season. I hope I'm off at least one of those two meetings. That's all I have, gentlemen. Unless y'all have some other questions.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Thank you,
Mr. Brown. We'll be back with y'all on the medical facility situation.
Yes.
Now that we have that out there, we're going to be doing some study.
Yes. Get after it. Thank you. Mr. Scott?
Told y'all last board meeting that we got the approval for the fall grant we applied for the system maintenance. So I have here, I just need, this is the contract or the grant. I got the award letter here and the grant terms and agreement for the contract. I just need the board approval to execute this agreement. And
motion. Motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Miss Gail, she's not here. Miss Holly. Miss Angie. Thank you.
Glad you're back.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all those prayers and
Mr. Cannon.
I don't have.
Motion to adjourn.
China?
Mr. Chairman.
I'll start, Mr. Chairman. I do have quite a bit. On my manager's report, action item number one, I do need board approval to submit to the House and Senate appropriations for the ongoing funding of the Dixie County Stormwater Task Force flooding project.
Motion.
Can I motion, Mr. Deason?
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. Number two, I need board approval to appoint Mr. Dwayne Chauncey as our mosquito control director for this fiscal year of
22-23.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson, all in favor.
Aye. Action item three is request board approval to execute the ship repair reimbursement for a Vicky Schmidt in the amount of $10,500.
Motion. Motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye. Number four, I need board approval to move forward with a task work order for North Florida Professional Services to provide the engineering services at the Cross City Library Roof Repairs Project in the amount of $19,000.
Motion.
Good motion, Mr. Stevenson.
Second.
Mr. Hatch, all in favor.
Aye. Miss Cindy, the plans, we'll start working on that, get moving on that project.
I appreciate that. They came in and changed out the pile a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
That evening it rained.
Okay. We are working on that at the library. Number five, I need board approval to reallocate the remainder of the first tranche of the ARPA monies. That's the American Rescue Plan Act, the federal dollars we got, in the amount of $173,000 towards the County Road 351 Canal System Project Phase 1. This is based off of the Stormwater Task Force recommendation.
Motion.
We got a motion, Mr. Hatch. Second, Ms. Stevenson. All in favor.
Aye.
Number six, I need board approval to execute the Build and Buy America acknowledgement document for the DEP for the Dixie County Airport and Prison Abatement Grant.
Motion.
Good motion, Mr. Stevens.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood. All in favor.
Aye. Number seven, I need board approval to assign a member, a commissioner, to the Florida Crown Workforce and then also an alternate. Mr. Chairman, this is the one that we had reached out to that you'd got a phone call in the absence of District 5. They are requesting a board member to be appointed to that.
Paul, for our vice chairman.
We've got a motion by for the vice chair for that.
Second.
Second by Mr. Wood. All in favor.
So who would y'all like for the alternate to be?
The chairman. Motion for the chairman.
Well, that's a motion for the chairman to be the alternate.
Second.
Second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, just a question. Is that really a name, Mr. Stevenson?
What?
For your appointment.
Hmm?
That was 3-1 or was it 4-0?
Are you
really going
off position?
Are you? No. He was joking on that one. Yeah.
For the record, it was 4-0.
Yes, 4-0. Yep.
Number eight, I've been requested by a citizen and board approval to advertise for a piece of property that the board owns. It's the old landfill site. It's approximately 80 acres, located up off of County Road 351 off of Northeast 44th Street. Anytime, protocol is anytime someone asks about a piece of county-owned property, we bring it to the board. Open for discussion. You can deny the sale at this time. You can say, let's look into it, have the attorney review it. It is the old county landfill site. I'm sure there's some questions that y'all may have in regards
to that area. I mean, we got that's not the actual landfill. It's the property adjacent to it.
It is the old existing landfill. It's the 80 acres in your packet there. It is the actual whole parcel. Half of the closed scene or the closed hill is constitutes about 35 acres of it. Then the rest of the property is big live oak trees and swampland or low flat area, if you will. It is a part of the canal system that runs through the old town residential area that we were working on. And at some point, we would need to clean this area out.
We was also looking at just the other side of that is obtaining some land to where we could keep
on that is correct.
Above that.
On the south side of
that canal, right.
We're in the process of getting an appraisal on it, where we can submit for a purchase.
Yeah, so we're going to buy some property over here on this other side where we can have canal cleanage, and then we're going to sell some property on the other side of the road to not have ownership of the canal frontage, right? Is that
you wouldn't own it anymore. That is correct. But again, I'll just bring it to the board. This is protocol.
One question I have, and of course, I'll probably go back more over Loughran Associates with some of the DEP questions, but if we were with this canal system like it is, we talked about we couldn't dig in the old landfill. Cleaning that, is that gone? Can we maintain, but not...
That's acceptable.
That's okay. Maintain the... And this was a side conversation we had that y'all might have contributed.
My other question is, and I'm not opposed or against, you know, this thing, but my other question is, DEP has spent a lot of money with us monitoring that. I know that's been closed out, or it should be closed out.
It's already closed. All the wells have been closed and discontinued.
Is there any reimbursement? Because sometimes they're...
For escrow or something?
Yes.
We don't have it under escrow any longer.
The escrow account's been closed out. Your 30-year long-term care period ended about 12 years ago, I believe.
Yep.
Like
yeah.
If you sell that, will they be assuming all liability of the old?
That's an attorney.
How's that going to work?
Well, that's something that, you know, that was part of that side conversation we had. It definitely would have to be addressed. There is some issues that land site can never be dug in at all. And, of course, they would have to be in agreement to accepting those terms and taking on all liability. You know, we'd have to get approval from DEP to sell it. I mean, this is not going to be as simple as some of our other sales of property because of what it was and all of the involvement with the landfill site. So that.
But there isn't any regulations restricting the sale of land.
I've talked with Mr. John, and he said, you know, that he has been involved when those properties like that have sold, but it's not very common because most people don't want to take on the liability of buying a landfill because basically that property can never be dug into or done. You know, there's only certain things you can do with it. So all of that would have to be spelled out in a contract.
If we could get away from that liability and we need to do our due diligence first.
Right. One thing I would ask that if, in fact, at any time it was to come back.
Of the eight, you said that's 80 acres?
Approximately 82.97.
Of the 82 acres, how much of that is the actual landfill?
About 35.
35 on the hill.
And I just roughed it.
So you got roughly 50 acres that's not.
According to the math, yes, sir.
Okay. On those 50 acres, could you dig in that area?
Yes.
In the area that it does not have the garbage?
Correct.
There's roughly 50 acres. Could that be dug in?
If that is not restricted.
At all. The only thing that I would like to see is have some kind of sampling done because we need rock in that area. If we could mine rock there, it will be justifiable to keep that. But if there's no rock and they're wanting to assume all the liability of that landfill, or put it out there on bid.
I would also, you know, if in fact we get to this point, is anybody making a motion to retain the ownership of the canal or at least a full
easement?
Something along those lines so that we're not having to go back and ask permission from the owner to clean out that canal because we're dealing with that.
One person that contacted me about that was talking about digging a retention pond and doing a lot of work to help the Old Town Helmuck area with the drainage in that area.
Right. And
that was the whole purpose of purchasing the property.
Right.
I was asking him about doing the digging.
Right.
They're talking about putting in retention ponds and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that would be great, but that's one of the things, we need to at least retain an easement. So if we have to go in at some point, if that person was to resell it or anything, that we wouldn't have to go back
certainly
to try to get it.
I don't think that would be
an
issue. Probably not our time anyway.
I'm going to make a motion for Chana to do some more research on this. And before we make a decision, I think it would be better off for us to make sure legally that we're covered because I don't want to pass a burden on to someone else either. And it's not really a burden to us right now. So I would like for Chana to do some research on it. She's had a couple sidebars to try to answer some of our questions already. So I think we need to let her
I iterated earlier to let her do her due diligence.
So I'm going to make a motion to do that.
Okay. We've got a motion. Thank you, Mr. Hatch, for Ms. Chana to do the research and all that. And then we got a second by Mr. Stevenson. All in favor?
Right. And number 9 is just for clarification in the minutes. It's a notification of the board. There is a name change on the farm lease, and this was a default of mine administratively and on the paperwork. I had given our attorney the original lease agreement, and it was the name of it was Southwest Cattle Company. But in 2017, they amended it to Rock and K Cattle Company. It's the same landowners. We looked it up on SunBiz, verified it. Same business owners, different business names. That was an error on me. I could have given the amended contract to y'all's attorney. I give the original contract. So just for verification in the minutes, that name for that lease agreement is with Rock and K Cattle Company. And it's on my board report as well, just for clarification on that.
The contract was changed. It is in now Rock and K. We did catch it before they signed it, you know, and redid it.
What was the deal with the spraying? Did we?
He agreed, and that's what we've got signed for.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought it was.
All offenses that are accessible by farm tractor.
Okay. I thought it was.
Yes, sir. Number 10, request board approval to allow the Martin Luther King celebrations to happen on the county, on the courthouse steps and the parking lot adjacent to it over here on the west side of the courthouse. And this is taking place on January 16th, 2023.
Motion.
You got a motion, Mr. Hatch.
Second.
Mr. Wood. All in favor.
They also...
Go ahead.
Well, Angela Carter had also requested that the board participate, or is the board interested in participating in the parade? We would need to know that.
We normally do. And
last year, y'all didn't have a truck in the parade. Y'all just the festivities. Y'all let me know how y'all want to proceed with that.
The 16th?
It is the 16th.
Yeah, I won't be in town.
Okay.
But with that being said, Ms. Elsie hit me up about some donations to there. Are y'all good with doing $50 a piece? That gives them $200 toward the parade. Y'all good with that? Leave the money with Ms. Helen. Or Andy. Martin Luther King Parade, I don't know.
Or who to make it
it's
out.
Probably moving forward, I'm guessing if Angela's handling it, I think a lot of it goes under that moving forward, but we...
Yeah, Cross City on the Move or something.
Something like that.
So they need to
book.
Just whenever they come in, we'll send them to you. So I'm going to make a motion for that.
Good motion, second. Mr. Hatch. Second, Mr. Stevenson. All in favor.
Number 11, County Road 340 Road Project. In a couple of weeks, we'll be having the pre-construction meeting. And then the contractor needs to know what road that the board decides to utilize the millings off of that project on. The road department, y'all had directed us to get the top three of that area that we have the most issues with as far as maintenance on the lime rock. These are the three here. Number one will be the Joe Bell Road, which is actually connecting to County Road 340. Number two would be the Northeast 696 Street, which is Ward Cemetery Road, which is to the west of County Road 340 and State Road 349, approximately 1.1 miles. And then the third biggest maintenance issue in that area is Log Landing, which is approximately a little over 3 miles to the south of County Road 340. These three roads is what the road department addresses to be an issue, and we need board direction on what y'all
might
like see.
On the Log Landing Road, if we could get millings up to the old Joe Bell place there, from there the road holds good. But from that point back out, it
gets
stays
beat
out.
Yep.
You know, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm
and then we should have, maybe we could have, if we could just do that part, we might have some left over to start on the Joe Bell Road or something like that. As far as calls that I get more on the Log Landing Road, and
okay.
It stays beat out more than the Joe Bell Road.
So in the contract, Mr. Chairman, in the contract with the contractor, Anderson Columbia, they're required and to haul it up to 2 miles. This is 3.2 miles. I'd have to negotiate with them, or are y'all willing to utilize our dump trucks to do the hauling in exchange for that? And that's something we can do, talk about at the pre-con meeting, but it right now is in the contract that they're only obligated to haul out to 2 miles.
I think they can extend that. I don't think that's going to be that much.
I just needed it. It is to make y'all aware that it is in the contract that, that they signed for up to 2 miles. Again, it's y'all's decision.
Okay.
Y'all's decision. You still good with that?
No. You made that in motion. Yeah. Got a motion, Mr. Stevenson?
Second.
Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor?
All right. Information items, Mr. Chairman and the board. Number one, next Friday, January 13th, is the Dixie County Legislative Delegation hearing. Is here in the board office at 10 a.m. With Representative Jason Schoaf and Corey Simon.
I'm going to be out of town. Okay. I think I was the only one that was at the last delegation meeting. Yep. I'm not going to be able to attend it this time. But
that's next Friday?
Yes, sir. Are you available, Mr. Chairman?
I'm pretty sure I can be here.
I'll be here, too.
Yeah,
I'll be here, too.
That's three of us right here.
Okay.
One of us ought to be to make it.
Oh, the last information item is that the road department has moved operations back to the county rock pit. We are now digging back at the county facility on 351 North while the water level is down.
Yep.
Obviously, once it comes back up, we'll be looking for alternate locations. This week we started clearing the 5 acres in the middle of the hammock off of Chaffetz that the board owns, 5 acres there.
That's off of
200. It does have some lime rock. I don't remember the exact name, the name of the road, Mr. Chairman.
188.
Okay.
It's
back. I do know it's between Chaffetz and 349.
Okay.
We'll learn that address by heart whenever we get noisy rock trucks around.
So it is up there at this time. That was some of the questions and concerns, so we are back there, so that should help on operations for this next quarter, as long as water stays down. Mr. Chairman, that's all I have to report.
Dwayne, I know they know this, but we don't close that city road out here in front of the courthouse for the Martin Luther King stuff.
County 351?
Yeah, we don't close that city,
okay.
So be sure you remind them to talk with our council about closing that. And then the other thing is airport. Have you got us an airport meeting lined up?
No, sir, but I will.
Okay.
You will need it on a Thursday, you said?
Yeah. Except for...
Are you not going to be at the next meeting?
Well, that's where I was going with that.
Okay.
Jody, you said you wasn't going to be here the 13th?
Correct.
So are you going to be back at the board meeting on the 19th?
Yes.
Okay,
I'm leaving today going to Ohio, and I'll be back.
Okay, because I won't be. 15th. I'll be.
16th.
I'll be out the 19th. Also, so Jody will be back, so that'll be good.
So then possibly we try to set it up for the 26th for the airport committee.
26th, 27th, yeah.
I'll work on that.
And just so the board knows what the biggest reason that me and Dwayne's talked about this is they're. Across the airport canal on two ends. If we run one fence, if we back out one fence up on the other side of the airport canal, the north side of the airport canal, and run it kind of northeast down that canal, northeast is this way, and tie it back in there, we can get two dams out of the airport canal that we've worked so hard to
cross.
Correct. Yes. We'll turn into two dams.
Yes, sir.
So that was the biggest reason for that. And I think we can do that very minimal cost. That's what we just want to have the airport committee meeting for.
Is that it? Miss Watson.
I don't have a lot going on. Well, I got a lot going on, but I don't have a lot ready for y'all. I should y'all some updates on some issues that we've talked about several times, hopefully to bring before y'all at the next meeting. The ship foreclosure lawsuit that we've got should be moving towards a conclusion. They have a summary judgment hearing. I don't anticipate we'll get no refunds in that one. just on the amount of the outstanding lien. But I will be there to make sure if we are entitled to any that we get that. Everything else is moving forward.
Ms. Hickenbottom.
The only thing I have, I talked to y'all at the last meeting about vendor account being compromised. It continues to be compromised. They've caught most of them as they come through, but yesterday an $8,000 check went through, so we are going to have to file another.
I can talk to the bank.
Well, I talked to you about closing that account to keep this from happening, but and we talked to them this morning about getting that process started.
The bank has called back. They feel that if we close the account, it's just going to happen again. They're talking about different security measures that they can put in place now. So I will have a better idea about what we're actually going to do maybe tomorrow or the first of the week. But they said if we close the account, it just, these people are so good that it's just going to happen again. It's going to happen to the new account. So if we can put different security measures in place and they're going to talk with their team, see what can be done, and then get back with me and go that route. But they just feel that it'll be a lot of work on our end, not on their end, to close the account, but a lot of work on our end with our vendors and everything. And if we can do other measures, then maybe we won't have to go that route. Okay.
And does anyone more? I mean, I'm sure they got somebody working on trying to catch these.
It's almost like they stole a handful of mail. With
yes.
The check went because they have the amount, the check number, they have all the information.
They just changed the name.
To Clungnet.
Yeah, the name where the vendor was is now a person's name there and their address. So
did that start when y'all went to computerizing the checks?
No, it just started last month.
They compromised something back in like April and May. And now we're in this November batch that got hacked. These are like local vendors who have been waiting on checks, and all of a sudden, they're not getting a check, but the check is cleared. Well, these checks cleared for the same amount that was originally wrote to the vendor and the same account number, the same check number, everything. So it goes through the bank because that's what we approved to go through there. But the names are changed on it. We've had some with both signatures. We've had some with some random signature. We've had cashier checks. We've had...
Well, I guess what I was getting at, it almost sounded like someone in the postal service, if they've intercepted the check.
Well, and they could be. I mean, because it leaves here. It goes to Jacksonville. If somebody in the postal service could have had a deal with somebody else, they gave them a whole batch of checks because you know that they're checks, they're window envelopes. So you can tell that it's a check, just like when you get a check from somebody paying you, it's a window envelope.
Why don't we stop that?
And that is what we talked about.
We talked about
it. And that's exactly what we talked about. Putting them in regular envelopes with labels on them. It's just going to be more costly to, of course, the county, because then you've got to do that. It's more time consuming for our office to do that, too, because I don't know that our system just prints out labels, for each check.
Are they?
They would have to actually type a label and
put
it on there.
Is the bank putting our money back, or?
On most all the checks so far, especially the duplicate ones, it comes out, and then a day later, it goes right back in.
How many have we not been able to recover?
There's been actually went through that we've had to do police reports.
There's three that we've actually had to do reports with the sheriff's office, and then it has to go through its course with the bank, and then they put the money back in because, it's federally insured. About, $11,000 right now that they have actually got away with.
There is a program on most of our computers.
Good thing
you
get them
to put an envelope like. Put your envelope in there and then print Watson, P.O. Box, blah, blah, blah. But it just may take a few extra minutes.
Madam Clerk, what would it take in the meantime between now and the next board meeting if we do need to change our account? You would need board action for the chairman to go sign to change out the main.
Yeah, y'all agreed last meeting to do that, but at this point, I guess we're not going to do that.
Well, I just want to make sure that if you need some action
but
today,
if you do,
we'll be waiting 2 weeks before he could sign at the bank.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have the new cards, so I need your signature and I need Mr. Stevenson's on all of those, okay? And then I'll get those back to the bank. But so as soon as I get an update from the bank as to what we're going to do, I'll tell, of course, my clerk, and then she'll inform Dwayne what the action is.
Being all our vendors, pretty much all of them we got, that's all we've had for a long time. What would it help if you could contact them, see if they could go with a direct deposit type thing?
I'm not sure about that. We would have to see if
they could do that. You wouldn't be worried about a check, so to speak, because it would just automatically go to their account.
Right. And I'm not saying in no means that we won't do it at the clerk's office, but the manpower to call every single one of those vendors, because there's hundreds of them. There's not just a few vendors. There's hundreds of vendors. That we'd have to contact, we'd have to get their banking information, we'd have to,
Right now we've got $11,000 unaccounted for that we might get or might not get back.
It's federally insured. We will get it back. No, it's not that we won't get it back. We will get it back.
It's automatic.
It just may take 10 days to get it back, but we will get it back.
I don't know if it's a good idea to have everybody's banking information in the courthouse, honestly.
I'm not sure how that all works.
I wouldn't want mine up here.
I wouldn't want mine up here either, so.
Not that I don't trust y'all, so let me clear that up. It's too easy to get hacked. Y'all getting hacked now.
Right.
In this electronic world.
And people are so, if they spend as much time and effort, trying to go find a real job instead of doing this,
I've seen that.
They're being duplicated.
Yeah.
Calling people and saying, hey, I'm going to send you this check and you're going to work for my company, yada, yada, yada. I mean, we've had all kinds of
different scenarios.
I mean, there's so many scenarios going on. There's people calling every day like, hey, I got a text from y'all and, I put in a job application 6 months ago and now I'm getting reimbursed for, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, they're working it.
And it's some of them are actual vendors of the people they're writing the checks to, and they may owe them $400, but they send them a check for $1,200, and they say, oh, we overpaid you. Send us the money back. That's how they're
getting,
So
they're just, working it.
Scams are real. I get them in my office all the time. I had one sent to me from supposedly an attorney I know. I reached out to him. I'm like, I don't think he sent this, but it come from. There was a letter off in the email. It was the only difference. Asking for something.
Is that about it, Miss Barbie?
Yeah, that's all I have.
I got one thing. Miss Barbie. On this right here, or maybe Miss Brenda, it's got the Dix County invoice entry proof list. And then it's got the remaining budget, like line one there, diesel fuel, blah, blah, blah. Is that a yearly what's remaining, or is that a quarter what's remaining?
What page are you on?
I don't see the page. It's 48 page number. But I just want to know if that's quarterly or yearly. You see?
It's 50. If it's... I don't know.
They had to print out a little tiny different report because we got a new printer.
Yeah.
I'm assuming it's yearly too.
I hadn't never seen it. I like that.
It's definitely yearly because there's $3.7 million in that budget.
I thought so.
Yeah. I don't know what it's supposed to be. I know what it is.
I thought so.
To make sure. But a motion to approve the voucher.
Second. We got a motion, Mr. Hatch, to approve the vouchers, and second, Mr. Wood, all in favor.
Aye.
All right. County Commissioner items. Mr. Wood?
Good, I have nothing.
Okay. Mr. Hatch?
Actually, everything I wrote down is scratched out except to tell everyone Happy New Year and look forward to working with y'all this year.
Mr. Peterson? I want to commend whoever took over the Purvis Landing Park. I went to the bathroom. This is the cleanest I've ever seen them. The park looked good.
Yep.
They're doing an excellent job. Yeah,
I forget.
To lay that on.
Yeah.
The other thing I got is following up on, I mentioned to you about the skidding of water management, about all the erosion at Barnto Springs. Setting up a meeting with Riverdale like it is, really a good time to get them out there and let's come up with something to put boulders or something for the erosion problem we've got going on. And the third one is anything else that comes up on the delegation that James needs to be, not feeling it needs to be filled, I make a motion that Mr. Hatch take it.
Duly noted.
Duly noted.
That's it.
Yep.
Happy New Year to everybody.
Yep. Happy New Year to everyone. We had a good meeting. We under 2 hours, so we're getting better. So if I can get Mr. Brown and Mr. Dwayne under control, maybe we can short them up. But you know, hey, it is what it is. We need to know these things.
Well, we got some good information.
That's
I didn't
right.
know that we had, when they said it, I still don't know who actually picks who. Take care of the Medicaid.
Yep. They're going to find out for us. We going to...
I know that, but I mean, I didn't know.
Yep. But, all right. Now it's the public's turn. Ms. Barbara?
Do we know anybody who knows somebody who could remind the governor that we need a commissioner's seat filled either to call a special election... or he can appoint somebody rather than us waiting for 2 years for
a regular election.
Because, you know, we no longer have Chuck Clemens.
Yeah.
We got Cap, that's probably useless. So, you know,
Mr. Dwayne has been keeping up with him. He's been calling them at least once a week, and we're getting the same answer. We're waiting on the governor, waiting on the governor. And so...
I think he reached out to some of the other counties and they didn't fill the seat.
Yes.
Our two adjacent.
I mean, he was really quick with Marion Downs, right? They've already got their special election date set, and, you know, here we are.
Just to clarify all that, you know, the special election is for a state representative. But just so you all know, I've watched Florida government, I've watched county commissions all over the place for decades. And generally, what you're going to see is that state seat's going to be empty for longer than what you want because not just this current governor, but I've seen previous guys, 7 years, 16 years, there was two guys that went to jail, okay, fine, their seats are empty for a long time.
Yep.
I wrote that the governor at that time still, you can call him every day and you're going to get the same thing. Well, he's busy, but if I do get these tons of releases, he appoints people to boards or whatever, like he's supposed to, you know, all the time, regular things that happen, like the new mosquito guy, reappointed by y'all. Okay, so, but to get a person to fill a seat that's been vacated due to death or going to jail or anything else for a county commission doesn't have the same rating as, like, for a state representative, you know, like Joe Hardy.
No, he
doesn't care. So that's just kind of it.
Yeah, we have been, I think, just like he just said, that there was a county or two, I don't know, Levy County, that it set 16, 18 months.
Yeah, we could go for 2 years.
Yes.
The flip side died on the political side of it, if the governor appoints somebody in county, it's almost like he's endorsing them.
when they run in 2 years. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but I mean,
how you feel about this, yeah.
Most of the time, like the judges, when they was vacated, they brought somebody out of county here to represent the county. And then either they bought a home here and moved here and then run, but they didn't appoint somebody local because...
It went letters. Well, letters to the governor telling him you want a representative.
Yeah.
What about these delegates that are going to be here this Friday?
Be here and bring it up.
Well, listen, but it could honestly be a good thing because we all know that a tie vote can't get broke, so somebody's got to compromise.
In all honesty, in my heart, I feel like this board has done the best to represent District 5, even if there was someone sitting over there. We have looked after District 5. We've done the best we can to take care of that area, and we're going to continue to do so. So there's not nobody going to be left behind. But I do agree we need to get somebody in there, but they're not going to be shoved on the rug, so to speak. We're going to take care of business and do the best. Our phones are open to anybody in that area to call if they have an issue with road or whatever. We're letting the countywide call us. We'll do what we can. Yeah.
And Mr. Stevenson gets to go speak to the career source people.
Exactly right.
Anybody else? Nobody else? I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Got a motion, Mr. Steve. Second, Mr. Hatch. All in favor.
Hey, we're paying that money out of the team. We're paying it out of the
pension. Yeah, we'll. And then when harvest season comes, we'll just have to.
We're going to pick up one.